Well, welcome to Hoboken Grace. For those of you who are with us for the first time, or for those of you who may be listening online, my name is Chris High, and I'm the teaching pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and we're super excited about tonight. This is our first ever Christmas Eve service, and we had no idea what to expect, and so we're really excited that you're here with us and that you're walking through this with us. Tonight's really all about celebrating Jesus Christ and what he's done from the beginning to the end. And it was interesting because I've been traveling a lot this week, and my grandfather passed away, so I had to go back to Michigan, and we've been running, as John said. You know, my family's been running like crazy and trying to get everything done and get ready, and so it really wasn't until I got in here and I was listening to the band warm up that I finally began to feel like Christmas. Things have been going so fast that it hadn't even sunk in, And so finally it hit me, okay, Christmas is actually here. And for me, when I hear the word Christmas, the first thing that comes to my mind is home. Now, I realize for some of you, when you hear Christmas, the first thing that comes to your mind is presents, right? Even as you saw the word Christmas up there, you think presents. It's time to grow out of that, but that's what you think. But for me, it's home, and it's this idea that you're gathered around this Christmas tree with your family or those that you love. For some of us, that's our family. For others, it's not so much our family. But with those that you love and those that love you. And I mean, think about the pictures that we have for Christmas, right? It's always in front of a fireplace, and the family's there, and the Christmas tree's there, and the presents are there, and there's always like a cup of coffee or hot chocolate, depending on who you are and what you like. There's this idea of just kind of settling in and just being there with those who love you and just soaking them in, soaking that moment in. And to be honest with you, it's actually a little strange. It's not strange for us because we grew up with this. I mean, this is what we grew up experiencing. This is what's normal to us. But it is actually a little strange when you look at the story of Christmas. Because when you look at the story of Christmas, it actually has nothing to do with being home. As a matter of fact, in the entire story, nobody's home. One of the things that I always wanted to do with a Christmas Eve service is just to be able to get together and to be able to read through the story. And as a family, as I was growing up, on Christmas morning, we would always come together, and before we got into what was underneath the tree, we would sit there and we would read through this story. And so tonight, as we kind of gather together as a family and maybe with our families here, I want to just read to you the story. It's a story as is told by Luke in the book of Luke chapter 2. And if you would, just kind of sit back and relax. And maybe you've heard this before, maybe you haven't. But listen to this story of Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it starts off, it says, "At that time the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.' When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angels had said to them about this child. The story of Christmas. But did you see it? Nobody's home. You see, the interesting thing is that for us, Christmas has become about being home. But for those who lived it, Christmas was about anything but being home. For a variety of different reasons. And so you look at the first characters and you see Mary and Joseph. And Mary and Joseph aren't at home. Why aren't they at home? In a lot of ways, because they're following God. It wasn't their decision to have this baby. It wasn't their decision to have this baby at this time. And make no mistake about it, God didn't do this on accident. This wasn't just kind of a strange coincidence. I don't think it was an accident that there wasn't anywhere for them to go. I don't think it was an accident that he was born away from home. And so they arrive in Bethlehem, and there's nowhere for them to go, and they realize the baby's coming. And if there's one thing I've realized as I've become a father over the last little while, it's that you don't have a choice of when the baby comes. Right? And when my first son, Caden, Caden's about 2.5 years old now, or about 2 years and 9 months, and I remember Anna was due about 2 weeks after Easter. Our church was about 2 years old, and so Easter was kind of a really, really big day. It was our second Easter ever, and so I told Anna, I said, "Listen, you can have the baby any time this month, except for Easter Sunday." And the night before Easter Sunday, she wakes me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and she's like, I think I'm having contractions. And she tells the story, and everyone laughs because I rolled over and said to her, "No, just go back to bed." And everyone laughs because they think it's because I was tired. I said go back to bed because in my mind, I'm like, no, this is the wrong time. This is the one day. And sure enough, my son was born that next night. You don't have a choice of when they come. And so you see, like, God is playing this whole thing out. And Mary and Joseph find themselves on Christmas morning, this day when Jesus Christ enters the world away from home because of the fact that they're following God. And sometimes the lie that we can believe is that if we're following God, then Christmas will mean that we're always at home, that everything's going to work out, that everything's going to fall into place. But that's not actually the way the story goes. You see, God had something bigger for them, something better for them to be a part of. And it actually meant that that day they had to be away from home. You know what's really cool about that? A lot of you are here tonight. And you decided that you were going to come and that you were going to set this whole thing up and that you were going to serve. And that tonight you're going to go home, but you're going to go home later. And you were going to be away from home because of the fact that you wanted to follow God. Can I encourage you with something? That's the spirit of Christmas. That's what Christmas is really about. And then you move on to the next characters, and you see these shepherds. And the shepherds, we don't know exactly what it was like. We know that they're guarding their flock, and we know that they're in the field. We don't know if they kind of had an area where they had penned them in or what, but as the story goes, they're kind of there with their sheep, taking care of everything, and these angels show up and are like, "Listen, you need to leave." And they probably were around a fire and kind of settled in and comfortable, and they had responsibilities and things that they needed to take care of. And the angels were like, "Listen, there's something huge happening. You need to leave." And so they strike out into the night and they begin to travel to find this baby. And they leave behind all these things that they're responsible for. And they leave behind all the comforts to go find this baby, to worship this newborn king. And I loved it because as I walked through this and I began to look at this story, because to be honest with you, I'd originally planned to talk about something very different. But the more I looked at the story, the more I realized it's not about being home. And the really cool thing is that when you look at the shepherds, they left their comfort to go worship. And you know what was really exciting to me about that? That's the same thing that a lot of you did tonight. And like John said, there's food burning all over the place in different homes right now, and you're really hoping that I go fast so that you can get back to it. But you left all that behind so that you could come and worship. That's the spirit of Christmas. To come and worship the King. Now, in that, I do want to challenge you with one thing, because there's a difference between coming to worship and coming to be entertained or to be a part of something like this. You see, the difference is whether you came to receive something or whether you came to give something. You see, tonight isn't about us coming together to get something from Him. Tonight is about us coming together to worship this King, to give something to Him. And if you're willing to step into that, if you're willing to say, okay, wait a second, maybe you walked in with the wrong mindset and you're like, I'm going to go check this out. And, you know, maybe it'll be great. Maybe I'll be encouraged. Maybe I'll be And maybe you walked in with that mindset. But I challenge you right now, change that mindset. Step out of that. No, it's not about me tonight. This isn't about what I can get. This is about coming to worship a King. And you better believe it's worth my time. You better believe it's more important than whatever else I have at home. You better believe it's more important than anywhere else that I could be or anyone else that I could be with is to worship my King. To be a part of this bigger story. In a lot of ways, this bigger idea of home. And I want to encourage you, for those of you who came out tonight to worship, man, that's the spirit of Christmas. And then finally, you look at this final character, the main character of Jesus Christ. I mean, is there anyone who better symbolizes this idea of leaving home on Christmas? I mean, He leaves everything behind on Christmas. He leaves all of the glory. He leaves all of the honor. He leaves all of that to come to a manger for you. And I realize that for a lot of us, you know, maybe you've grown up in religion that told you that God was just kind of indifferent, that God was passive, that God was up there somewhere kind of waiting to see whether you make it or not. The truth is, it's interesting, when you look at what we believe about Santa Claus and sometimes what we teach about God, they're very similar. I mean, you guys know the song, right? Santa Claus is coming to town. Is that a yes? Okay, good. Listen to the words of this. I'm telling you, we've taught about God the way that we sing about Santa Claus. Listen to this. You better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. And the crazy thing is, for a lot of us, that's exactly what we've been taught about God. He sees you when you're sleeping. He sees when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, and you better be good because He's coming back. And we've been taught that God is like this indifferent, passive, and he's up there and he's waiting to see, are you going to make it or not? Are you good or are you bad? But that's not what Christmas is about at all. You see, the thing is, you've been taught that this is that is what this book teaches you. But Christmas flies right in the face of that. Because when, at Christmas morning, you realize that God is not passive. God is not waiting to see whether you make it. God came for you. God left home for you. He knew you weren't going to make it. He knew you weren't going to be good enough, right? It's the same way with Santa Claus. When you're little, you realize, man, if I get gifts only by whether or not I obey, I'm in trouble. My sister might get a gift, but I'm not getting a gift. And I think for a lot of us, we've been taught this about God, that like he's just up there with this scale. You better be good. You better watch out. And God knew you weren't going to make it. God knew it could never be based on that. And so rather than waiting, rather than passively waiting to see if you would make it, he came back for you. He left home for you. Jesus tells a story about himself. It's found later on in that same book of Luke. It says, so Jesus told them a story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. That's the story of Christmas. He left home to come find you. He left all the comfort to come bring you back. And there are a lot of different things in our lives that we think are going to help us find our way. There are a lot of things that we think are going to lead us to where we want to go. And so whether it's love or career or our car, or house or clothes, our stuff, home, our family, there are a lot of different things that we think are going to lead us back. But the truth is, there's only one way. Home. And that's to trust the one who left home. You see, he came to bring you back. And he lived his life. And he gave his life on that cross so that you could go home. So that you could find your way, so that we would no longer be lost. And so today, as we look at this idea of Christmas, I want us to realize that while we celebrate it together as a family, and as we come around, and as we remember this together as a family, that Christmas is not actually about being home. It's not just about that little family. It's about a much bigger family. You see, Jesus Christ realized that if he was going to expand his family, that he had to leave home. He had to come for you. He had to take your place. And so he did. You see, it's not about being home. It's about leaving home so that we can see others find out what it means to be a part of this family. And when we say Merry Christmas, we usually say it kind of in this sentimental way, but the truth is, Merry Christmas should be a lot less of just a sentimental phrase and much more of a missional phrase. And so tonight I say to you, Merry Christmas. And may you, as you come together over the next week with those who love you and those that you love, may you celebrate the one who left home for you. May you celebrate the one who walked away from the comforts for you. But may you remember that this isn't about being home. This is about leaving home to go find others. And may it motivate you and mobilize you in this next year to leave home so that you can follow God, to leave home so that you can worship Him, but most importantly, to leave home so that you can help others find their way home. That's what Christmas is all about. Will you pray with me? Father, tonight as we come here to celebrate you, Father, it's amazing what you did that night. It's amazing how you sent your son away, knowing full well that this mission that he was on, this path that he was on, was going to lead to his death, that he was going to take our place, that he was going to give his life, that he was going to be murdered for us. And Father, I pray for those who are here who've lived their entire lives believing that you're just a passive God who's up there somewhere out there, and that you're waiting to see whether or not they're going to be good enough. Father, I pray that they would look at this story of Christmas and realize that you're not who they thought you were. I pray that they'd see this and that they would stop trusting the things that they've been trusting to find their way back, and that they would begin to explore this idea of what it means to follow you. That they would begin to explore this idea of what it means to trust you to find their way home. Father, I pray that tonight would be the beginning for many of a journey to discovering just how much you actually love us. I pray that as they hear this story and as they realize what this day is actually about, that your Spirit would begin to draw their hearts back to you. That they would know what it means to be a part of this bigger family. So that one day, we can celebrate what Jesus Christ did and celebrate that night when he came with a much, much bigger family. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.